Ms. Daisy Lee. She's currently a doctoral student and graduate research and teaching assistant with the Department of Behavioral and Community Health at the University of Maryland in College Park. She's working in the CHAMP lab, that's the Community Health Awareness, Messages, and Prevention Lab, in the areas of cancer, health disparities, and health communication, among others. She presently assists with research grants on community-based and culturally appropriate interventions with an emphasis on spirituality and religiosity. So please join me in welcoming Daisy up to the stage as she presents on Pap test screening, examining issues of access and cervical cancer prevention for college-age Vietnamese American women in Los Angeles.
Hi everyone, thank you for joining us for this session today. Although I am a doctoral student at the University of Maryland, the research I'm presenting today is actually some of the work I did at in Los Angeles when I was at the University of California, Los Angeles. So today's presentation is again on Pap test screening within a particular population. And before I begin, just want to say I do not have any relationships to disclose. Today's presentation, I'm going to briefly take you through the outline presented above. We're going to go through a quick introduction, present with you some of my key research questions, talk about the methodology, the summary, and then conclusion. And this is a qualitative research with a smaller sample size. So in terms of cervical cancer is a disease that will affect one out of 135 women in the U.S. in her lifetime. It's commonly caused by the HPV virus, where prolonged infection can cause cervical cancer. There are currently two main routes, and the first is the HPV vaccine, Gardasil being the first, licensed in 2006, and it does prevent against types 4, 11, 16, and 18. So just to provide some background, types 16 and 18 account for about 70% of cervical cancer rate. The other, of course, is the regular Pap testing. So why did I focus on PAP testing specifically? Simply put, PAP testing has a history of success. It has been effective at reducing rates of cervical cancer to a point where Health of People 2010, I know it's slightly outdated, that their goal is to get 97% screening rate within the nation. This proven success is in contrast to HPV vaccine, because, as mentioned before, it's limited in its effectiveness, has a high cost currently, and to date has limited long-term studies. So it's only been 6 years since Gardasil has been out, the vaccine, so the focus right now is still to push the PAP testing. And also, it's quickly, to note, only 61% of Vietnamese American women have ever been screened, which is a much lower rate compared to non-Hispanic white women, which is at 84%. So I know this is a little graphic, but I did include this here in the presentation because I wanted to show how, to some individuals, the screening is slightly invasive and it deals with a sensitive area of the female body that can either make it awkward or uncomfortable to discuss or bring up with a provider or peers or family. So I'll bring this up a little later in the presentation. So we've discussed cervical cancer, its link to HPV, and the method of prevention that I want to focus on in the study. But what about the target population? Why Vietnamese American women and why college age? So to provide some background, the reason why I focus on Vietnamese American population is because on a number of measures, as shown above, they are more disadvantaged when compared to the umbrella Asian American population and the U.S. population at large. In addition, disparities for Vietnamese American, like other Asian Pacific Islander Americans, the subgroups, they're often overlooked under the aggregated data of Asians. So when you break them down, you will find, when you disaggregate the data, what you will find is that Vietnamese American women shoulder a burden when it comes to cervical cancer. They have the highest age-adjusted rate, incidence rate of all groups, and they're five times more likely to develop cervical cancer than non-Hispanic women. We know there's a need. Within the population, I chose to focus on college-age women because studies have shown that acculturation leads to higher rates of cervical cancer screening. Given the low screening rates within Vietnamese American women in general, I wanted to know if this held true for the college age population. So we're kind of starting to look into the subgroups within this population. It's also a very understudied and under-targeted group, And at the time of the study, which was done in 2010, there was only one previous study that focused on this population, and there was currently no social marketing campaign targeted at them specifically. So, of course, the goal in the public health field is to improve health outcomes for all people. And so by working with younger women, hopefully it'll lead to long-term adherence to the recommended screening practices. So this quote is from a study done on Vietnamese American women on cervical cancer, and it highlights the importance of Pap testing as a method to prevent cervical cancer. So by Taylor et al., they stated, although little is known about the HPV infection among Vietnamese American women, available data does indicate that cervical cancer disparity may be due to low Pap testing rates rather than variation in the HPV infection rates and or types. So I had one main key objective in my study. I wanted to explore the knowledge, beliefs, barriers, motivators for college-age Vietnamese American women, specifically as it relates to cervical cancer screening. I wanted to know why, if there was any disparities that existed, and what determined their knowledge and beliefs on this topic. By finding out their motivators and sources of knowledge, I was also able to address two secondary objectives, and that was how to develop a more effective messaging campaign geared toward this population, and how to ultimately, in the long run, decrease mortality rate for these women. To achieve these objectives, there were three questions that were asked. Simply put, how can I develop an outreach campaign that is effective, which is really mainly the important part of all of this? Is higher education a preventative measure against cervical cancer? And what are some of the challenges and barriers faced by this particular population? To frame my project, the study used Prochaska and DiClemente stages of change model, and the study specifically aimed to understand the mindset for women at the pre-contemplation or contemplation stage for changing their screening behavior. The goal was to eventually create a campaign that will at least move them to the next stage and into the preparing for action and taking action stages. In terms of methodology, my study consisted of three focus group of college-age women. They were 18 to 24, this was defined by the U.S. Census data, and who also self-identified as Vietnamese American. A number of methods were used to recruit the study participants, including campus listservs, Facebook, flyers, email blasts, and all of the focus group were tape recorded and transcribed, and these transcriptions were combined with field notes and summary reports. The transcriptions were read and analyzed multiple times to look for patterns and codes, which we will discuss in a little bit. So just to break down the summary, there are 60 participants overall in the study. They came from various parts of Los Angeles area and were from a number of colleges and universities. Importantly, they were self-identified as Vietnamese American within the age range, and they all were between first years to graduates of a university or college. A majority, approximately 62.5%, responded that they have had a Pap test in their lives before. But this number dropped drastically when they were asked if they adhered to the American Cancer Society's recommendation for screening. Only 19% of the participants adhered to the recommendations, and furthermore, only 31.3% of the women even consider cervical cancer prevention a priority in their lives. And I will discuss this as a limitation later, but this was based on American Cancer Society's previous recommendation of getting screened annually. As mentioned previously, interviews were taped and transcribed, and then the transcription were analyzed for patterns and codes. Any codes with frequency greater than 3 were then recorded as reoccurring themes. Here are just a couple of examples of the types of rich responses received during the focus group interviews. It was from these responses that reoccurring themes could be extracted. In response to a question about discussions and awareness about screening cervical cancer at home, these were two responses from the women. One of them stated, "We just don't talk about it at home. My parents pretty much assume that me and my sister are virgins, and we haven't and will not have sex until we are married. I think my parents are very traditional. Either they really believe that we're not sexually active, or I don't know, maybe they're in denial. Whatever it is, sex is never talked about at home, so issues like HPV, the Pap test, and cervical cancer is never touched upon or visited in our house." Another lady responded, and she was, I believe, 24 at that time. She said, "Yeah, I tried talking to my mother once for research about recommended beliefs and attitudes on relationships. Not even about sex yet, and she brushed me off and said how inappropriate of a conversation it was to have at my age. This was just last year." So as you can see here, there are a number of themes and patterns that could repeat just between the two quotes, and when combined with the transcriptions from the other three, the total three focus groups, there's 28 recurring themes. Here are the 28 different quotes that were extracted from the focus group interviews, and the ones in red specifically were tied to the two ladies and the passage from the previous slides. So some of the recurring quotes that came up were the issue of culture and cultural practices, the importance of family and home, the concept of modesty and how the conversation of sex is taboo, norms and willingness to discuss, and the lack of communication, specifically between peers, those that are similar to themselves, as well as within the family setting. So what do we do with all the information responses and quotes? What do these information tell us? Well, we learned that college-age Vietnamese women face similar risks, similar to their peers with lower education. They themselves recognize that there are very few prevention interventions geared towards their population, and that there are few, if any, social marketing campaigns targeted at them to help them increase rates. They recognize that little research is done on their group. So what was interesting is that we found out higher acculturation given these groups and knowledge about cervical cancer, access to health insurance because they were in a university setting or had work insurance, did not actually provide the participant with incentive or power to change their screening behavior. Through the analysis of these focus group interviews, it became clear that prevention programs simply was not a high prevention and cervical cancer screening was not a priority for these women, and that they placed it behind other issues and needs such as academic success, financial stability, and family obligations. So these are very important things, topics to note when we are creating a program that are targeted to increasing screening rates among these women. As the sample quotes from before demonstrated, social, structural, and cultural factors are critical in determining the beliefs and behaviors for these women. Family communication, as well as peer communication, or the lack of, and the traditional concepts of modesty and chastity played a large role for these women and need to be addressed in future campaigns and prevention programs. Finally, the women in the study cited a number of needs that have gone unmet. For example, they felt the need to feel confident in their ability to go into screening, so having peers that perhaps could motivate them or go in with them, or just being able to talk about it freely in the home setting, both of which they didn't feel that they had access to at home currently. So, of course, there are some limitations to my study. Of course, there are some limitations to the study. Most notably, the American Cancer Society recently changed their recommendation on screening, but this affects my study going forward. I have suspicion that the same factors that address adherence to the previous guidelines still apply to these ladies. And a number of recommendations and future implications that arise from the study. First, cervical cancer prevention efforts need to begin at home prior to college enrollment. And due to the unique culture of this target population, we need to bring in peer figures and peers to get them involved in this effort, not just from a researcher's point of view. At the same time, marketing campaigns should be developed and should focus from moving these women from the contemplation stage into the preparation stages. Because of the importance of tradition, family, and peers in this population, modeled conversations need to be promoted to get these women to adhere to the guidelines currently for cervical cancer screening. Importantly, any campaigns also need to be mindful and address the unique social, again, structural, and cultural context for this population. Okay. And in the future, more research should be done in sub-APIA populations. We all most likely know about the limitations of grouping all populations under the umbrella terms of Asians or, you know, African American when there may be immigration status that are involved. So it's important to break these numbers down and try to delve deeper into what it is that these subpopulations face and tie that into our promotion campaigns. They're often overlooked and hidden when they're grouped into a larger umbrella term, and especially in quantitative analysis. So we do need to consider that. And it cannot be emphasized enough, but the culture behind this population needs to be carefully considered if we really want to reduce their mortality rate in the future. So I thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah. Sure. No. Sorry. So he asked if these, when we term the college age, whether it meant that they're currently enrolled in college. So no, they had to at least be in college or have graduated from a university or college. Exactly. Suppose, yes. Yes, so I think I forgot to mention, but based on the information collected in the interview, all 16 women were non-HPV vaccinated. So the information that was collected from the focus group were just for non-vaccinated women. But I am actually continuing this, and I am exploring how the HPV vaccine, if at all, affects their concept of screening and how it involves adherence. Sorry, can you repeat that?
Assuming that they are educated and if they were taking HPV vaccine, were to educate them in taking the HPV vaccine, is that skew a little bit of this statistics here?
So I think the question was if we had educated them and they had taken the HPV vaccine, whether it would affect the results. Is that correct? Regardless of whether I think if a promotion program increases HPV vaccine, we still push a Pap test because the HPV vaccine only covers up to about 70% of cervical cancer rates, and it's still recommended that with the vaccine you still need to get the recommended screening every few years. So the only difference right now is how often the screening needs to be done. Before it was yearly, now it's every 3 years. So we do take that into consideration, but I don't believe that. The campaign, even if it pushes HPV, that they wouldn't recommend a regular screening. So no, I don't think it would differ. We would actually push it still. Yes. Oh, sorry. No, it's okay. So he asked if all the women in the study were sexually active. So majority of them were. Two ladies had indicated that they were not currently sexually active, but we didn't delve into further and get specifics whether they have been sexually active before. Any other questions? Thank you.